Parshas Vayeshev concluded with the phrase, "V'lo zachar sar hamashkim es Yosef vayishkacheu." The sar hamashkim did not remember Yosef, and he forgot him. So the Blush of a Rebbe, Zatzal, once asked, if you're telling me v'lo zachar sar hamashkim es Yosef, well then it's pashut vayishkacheu. Isn't that unnecessary repetition? What's pshat? Once you tell me he didn't remember him, no need to say that he forgot him. So Blushever said beautifully, he said as follows. He said, the pshat is, if the Torah is stressing the lo zachar plus vayishkacheyu, that implies that it is possible, and with regard to certain events, there is an in-between stage of v'lo zachar, but not v'yishkachehu. Meaning, yes, the Torah is telling us that in Sarah Mashkim's case, he did not remember Yosef and he forgot him. But that means that there are other instances in which you don't remember something, but you don't necessarily forget it. And by that he meant that there are certain events that occur in one's lifetime that are so traumatic or painful that you don't want to constantly be living with the memories of it, because it will hold you back and it will bring you down and it will prevent you from functioning properly. But at the same time, that doesn't mean you have to forget it. You're not supposed to forget those events either. There's an in-between stage. Don't live with the memory of it at every moment, but at the same time, never forget it, because it's important to be able to recall it when necessary. And by that he was presumably referring to the Holocaust that he himself was a survivor of, because he had seen such yisurim and suffered himself so terribly. And that was one event which you can't live with the memory of it front and center every day of your life. At the same time, you can't forget it either. So let's, in that regard, pull back and remember one Maisa Shahaya with the Blush of a Rebbe in Bergen-Belsen. And when I once mentioned this particular incident with the Blush of a Rebbe in Bergen-Belsen, a man of my shul came over to me. He said, I was in Bergen-Belsen. I remember the Blush of a Rebbe there. Pretty remarkable to have someone sitting in the crowd who was there and was able to attest firsthand to the Blush of a Rebbe in Bergen-Belsen. This particular Maisa told by Yaffa Eliach in her book on the Holocaust. Remarkable Maisa. And along the lines of what Rabbi Schachter was describing last night, the Mesiras Nefesh of the Jews in Bergen-Belsen to light menorah on Hanukkah. So in this instance, the Blush of a Rebbe arranged with a number of other fellow inmates to pull loose threads out of their prison uniform, twist those threads into wicks, and for oil, they used shoe polish. They used the oil from the shoe polish to light the wicks, and for their menorah, they put this oily shoe polish extract and the wicks made from prison uniform threads in a shoe with which to light their menorah. So imagine the scene. Imagine the scene. Lighting Ner Chanukah in a shoe with some wicks made from threads of your prison uniform. Burning the oil from the shoe polish they were given with which to polish. And a group of Jewish inmates gathered around. And the Blush of a Rebbe is lighting Ner Chanukah. And he says on the first night, the first two brachos aloud, then pauses, and then recites the Shechayanu. And there was another Jewish inmate there who confronts the Blush of a Rebbe afterwards, and he says, Spira, you want to say your brachos, you want to light the candle, go right ahead. But to say Shechayanu v'kimanu v'yonu l'zman hazeh, are you out of your mind? What are you being thankful for? Thank God that we're here today, here and now. L'zman hazeh. What the Shachianu is this all about? We're prisoners in Bergen-Belsen. So the B'lushever said back to him, he said, you're right. And that's why I paused between the brachos before I said the Shachianu. I myself was questioning, how can I say a Shachianu under such circumstances? So but then I looked up and I saw all of the Jewish inmates standing around me, so eagerly anticipating this Kiyum HaMitzvah, and I said, to see such a sight, the Ratzon for Avodas Hashem under such conditions, under such trying circumstances, this is certainly, he said, something worth giving Hodah for, to having seen this mysterious Nefesh for Mitzvahs under such circumstances. He says, for that I can say Shachianu. And certainly, that Musar message is so appropriate for Hanukkah. The willingness to go the extra mile to be Moser Nefesh for a mitzvah. Because the famous Bach that is so often cited in Hilchos Hanukkah Siman Tav Reish Ayin, who explains the distinction between the Nes of Purim and the Nes of Hanukkah. Purim, he says, the Jews sinned by eating and drinking at the Seudas Achashverosh. Therefore, they were subjected to a gzera on their guf, physical extermination. And when they overcame, B'derach Neis, were saved, the celebration incorporates Seudas Mitzvah, drinking, eating, to signify that they had sinned initially with Achilu Shasiyah. They were then subject to a gzera on their guf, physical extermination. And they therefore celebrate now the Neis with drinking and eating L'Shem Shemayim. Chanukah, however, says the Ba'ach, the chet wasn't with eating and drinking. The chet, he says, was nisrashlu ba'avoda, is the famous phrase that he uses. They were lax in the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, in their avodas HaKodesh, in their avodas Hashem, and therefore the gezer that was issued against them was not a physical gezer, but it was rather one that targeted the avoda. A bittul of karban tamid, for example, or a Tumah of the Shmonim in the Beis HaMikdash. It was an Gzer that targeted the Avodah in the Mikdash because they were Nisrashal B'Avodah, they were lax with their Avodah, therefore that was what was targeted. And when they were Zocha to overcome, the Nes was performed with the Neros of the Menorah. Once again, the Avodah. The Yevanim tried to put an end to the Hadlakas HaMenorah by being Metame everything. And the Nes Difra was performed with the Neros of the Menorah. And so we too, says the Bach, we celebrate not with Achilu Shasiyah like Purim, but rather with the Hadlakas HaNeros to symbolize that that was what they had been lax with, the Avodah. That was what they then were Zocha to see the Nes with, the Neros of the Menorah. And so according to the Bach, the Iker of Hanukkah essentially is to counteract that tendency to be Misrashel, to be lax with one's Avodah, and to highlight the importance of being mischazek and being Moser Nefesh and going the extra mile for one's Avodas Hashem. When something is important to you, you're willing to go the extra mile to push to make it happen. I hope that you guys never heard of the name Steve Malia. Good. Okay. Steve Malia is someone who about 9 years ago decided that what was important to him in life was the New York Yankees. Now, you might find the New York Yankees important enough to watch it on television, fine, there's a lot of those. Steve Malia is someone who was so machshiv the Yankees that he took a year off from work, spent $60,000, just that he can make sure to be in person at every single Yankee game of the season. Took a year off from work, $60,000 shelled out of his bank account. So he flew to every single away game to attend every single Yankee game. Gvaldik. Baruch Hashem. That which he's machshav in life, he aspired to achieve, and he pushed himself, and he spent the big bucks, and he took the time, and he really made it happen. Kol HaKavod. Kol HaKavod. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay, at least now when he goes up to Shemayim, he'll have what to be proud of. It reminds me of the equally tragic story told by columnist George Will in his book Suddenly, where he describes back in the 80s, the days of the, was it the 70s maybe, the big red machine, Cincinnati Reds. And they're at the top of their game. And there was a team flight to an away game. And suddenly the plane encounters some sort of turbulence and goes into a nosedive. And the oxygen masks drop from the ceiling. And people start gripping the sides of their chair, thinking that they're about to crash and to die. And good old Pete Rose, before he was known as a gambler on baseball, when he was still known as a 300 lifetime average hitter on the way to ultimately breaking Ty Cobb's all-time hit record, good old Pete Rose, as the plane is diving, stands up in his seat and starts yelling, "I'm going down with 300 batting average. What are you going down with?" So George Will sees in that a man whose life is his work. I see in that a real Rachmanis, a guy who's got nothing to value in life more than his 300 lifetime batting average. Nebuch. What are you machshiv? What are you willing to go the extra mile for? What are you most proud of in life? For Steve Malia and Pete Rose, I guess they'll share a booth in the afterlife. That section for those who are machshiv baseball more than life itself. Kol hakavod to them. Hope it's in a sunny place. I don't know. I don't want any part of that. That's a very, very tragic, tragic priority of values in life. Pete Rose, Steve Malia. What are you machshiv in life? What are you willing to go the extra mile for? What are you willing to spend your money on? What are you willing to put your time in? It's tragic. But I guess people need something. If they don't find something valuable, they'll take even that which is ultimately nothing more than a narishkeit and make it into the focus of life. Chanukah is all about being machshiv the avoda, not being misrashal b'avoda, being machshiv the avoda, going the extra mile for the avoda. And mele, that's why, of course, in Chanukah, you dafka have in this mitzvah, the mahadrin, min mahadrin, the neirusha base, the different madregas, the kima mitzvah, because we're looking to show we have opportunity to do it better, do it better, do it better, and we do it best. We're putting in the money, putting in the effort, and making it as best as we can make it. Not being misrashal, being machshiv the avoda. All about determining what is most important ultimately. What one day will you look back and say, I wish I had more of? Because the day will come when you look back on the last 80 years, maybe Be'ezus Hashem, the last 90 years, maybe God willing, and Be'ezus Hashem, you'll all reach the Aruchas Yamim of my great aunts, Zol Gesundzein, Mrs. Sarah Honig. You'll look back at the last 103 years, Bli Ayin Hara, and you'll ask yourself, wow, what do I wish I could have and should have done more of? At that point, though, you're not going to have as much time to make the corrections you would have wanted to have made when you had the opportunity to do so right now. That's why I'm sharing this perspective, this retrospective look with you now, before you get there, so that you can make the changes that you will want to make then, but make them now. So I must have maybe 20, 25 years on you guys. So, giving you the advice, look back now, before you get to that point where I'm at. Ask yourself, what will I want to have done differently looking back in the future? And make those changes now. Make those changes now. If you will get to 45 and look back and say, oh, I wish I would have started learning Shas little by little 25 years ago. I would have finished by now. So now I'm telling you now, start now. One Mishnah a day. Two Mishnahs a day. You can do it the art scroll way. It's easy. Goodness, what more can you ask? Artsko Mishnayis, English, Hebrew translation, it's right there. One Mishnah a day, two Mishnayis a day. How much time will it take you? 5 minutes, 10 minutes if it's a tough Mishnah or two. 10 minutes a day, and in a few years, you finish Shas Mishnayis. If you don't start now, you won't be able to look back and say, wow, I accomplished. At the Miskaran Sukkah, that the Yetzirah appears to the Rishayim like it's a massive, massive mountain. And to the Tzadikim, looks like it's a little anthill. Why? So, based on Levi and others say, because the Rishayim never bothered to try and climb it. So when you're looking at it before you try to encounter it, it looks imposing. It looks too difficult to overcome. It looks like a mountain. Finish. Shas. That's crazy. I'm just an average guy. I can't do that. But once you get through, you look back and say, oh, that wasn't so bad. Wow, one Mishnah a day, two Mishnahs a day, that's not so bad. I can handle that. I could have handled it had I tried it, but I didn't try it. So the tzaddikim will actually overcome it. They look back and they see, wow, taka wasn't so bad after all. But you got to at least take the jump, make the initial decision to jump in. Chanukah time is the time. Just some discipline, just one or two Mishnahs a day. And you look back for Ezra Hashem one day in the near future, say, wow, that wasn't so bad. I can do that again. Havai, we should be zocha to all be meschazik in our avodah, especially now, this time of Chanukah, and to climb that seemingly insurmountable mountain so that we can realize that it wasn't so insurmountable after all.